Hey, good morning, everybody. Parshas Chukas, Chukat. The main theme at the beginning of the Parsha, which really I think we're going to spend our time on, is a very esoteric mitzvah, the mitzvah of Para Aduma. This is a process by which, in the time of the Beit HaMikdash, someone who came in contact with death, which is the highest form of tuma, had to be processed and returned to tahara, to purity. And there's an elaborate process utilizing the para aduma, utilizing a pure red calf, pure to the extent that it cannot even have two hairs that are not red, and it is of course killed, and its blood is mixed together with ashes and with other ingredients, as we'll see, and it is sprinkled on the individual who has tumat meit, who has come in contact with death, in order to purify him. So this is in the category of chukim. Obviously, this is one of those mitzvahs which readily we can see is a mitzvah without a reason, a perceived reason. It's a mitzvah which is really mysterious. And we'll talk about that a little bit. We're not going to go necessarily in the order, but let's start with number two on the sheet. And this is from Rav Gedalia Shor, who was the Rosh Yeshiva of Torah Vedas Yeshiva in New York. And he asks an immediate question on the Pasuk. In the presentation of the mitzvah, it said, Zot Chukat HaTorah. This is the Chok, this is the law of the Torah. So the obvious question, which many commentaries ask, V'hikshu HaMefarshim, Shehayelo Lomar Zot Chukat HaParah. This is the law of the calf, of the cow. Why? What do you mean this is the law of the Torah? It's not the law of the Torah. This is one of 613 mitzvahs in the Torah. It's only one. So why, what's the significance of the Torah saying this is the law of the chok of the Torah? Again, remember, chok is a, there are many words for mitzvahs. You have chok, mishpat, edut, mitzvot. The uniqueness of the word chok is that it relates specifically to those mitzvahs that have no reason. Okay? And that's important to know here because that's what he's going to build his case on in answering this question. Why does it say this is the law of the Torah, not this is the law of the parah? V'yesh lomar, let me suggest an answer. Al pima shekatavnu kfar levaer, based on something that I wrote in another place to explain ma she'omrim benusach ha'lashem yichud, Taryag mitzvot hatluyim. What is he referring to? You know that many people, before they perform a mitzvah, they say a little paragraph. And, probably everybody here does this once a year, or one week of the year, when you take the lulav and the esrog. So in the siddur, before the brachas, there's a whole paragraph there. That's one mitzvah that the siddurim printed, so many people, before they make the bracha, the lulav and esrog, will say that paragraph. That's what you call a shem yichud. It's to give us proper intent, proper kavana to do the mitzvah. And in that paragraph, there's a phrase that we say that God should give me the ability to fulfill this mitzvah, as well as to fulfill the taryag mitzvot hatluyim bo. All of the other 613 mitzvahs, which are dependent upon this mitzvah. That's a very strange phrase. What does that mean? Each mitzvah is separate. So why is it that when we say that little prayer before we do a mitzvah, that we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to also give us the merit of the other 613 mitzvahs that are dependent upon this mitzvah that we do? Every mitzvah seems to be that all the mitzvahs are dependent on this mitzvah. So what is that all about? So he explains, the HaKavanah, the intent is, Shekol mitzvah batorah, Yesh lo inyan miyuchad. Every mitzvah in the Torah has a unique feature to it, a unique aspect. Something in that mitzvah that does not obtain in any other mitzvah. The ikar nekuda shel ha-mitzvah, and that's the essence of the mitzvah. Unekuda zu, and this point, he gam b'shar ha-mitzvot, it exists in all of the other mitzvot, ela shel ha-mitzvah achat miyuchedet hi le'inyin zeh bilvad. But this one particular mitzvah highlights that point. That's its essential feature. Right? The hamashal is, and let me give you an example, he says, and it's a good example. Hadrasha al pasuk, the Torah says, Ushmartem et hamatzot, that you should guard the matzos. You should be careful with matzos. This is obviously talking about the mitzvah of eating matzah on Pesach, right? Particularly the first night when it's a mitzvah d'oraisa, it's a Torah obligation. So the Gemara, in our oral tradition, the rabbis say, Rabbi Yoshi says, Al tehi korei et hamatzot, don't read, guard the matzot, the matzahs, ela et hamitzvot, but guard the mitzvot. In other words, you can play on the word matzot to read mitzvot. The mitzvah is saying guard the matzot, but there's a hidden meaning here. Guard, protect the mitzvot. Kederech she, what does that mean? Kederech she'ein machmitzim et hamatzot, the same way that you cannot delay and be lazy with matzah, after 18 minutes, it's gone, right? You lose out on the mitzvah. Kach ein machmitzim et hamitzvot. So this is an essential feature of the mitzvah of matzah, is that you have 18 minutes to bake the matzah. That matzahs are reminiscent of how we left Egypt. We left bechipazon, we left in haste. The matzahs are made in haste. That's part of not only part of the mitzvah, that's an essential dynamic of the mitzvah of eating matzah, the making of the matzah in a very quick and speedy fashion. And don't delay in making the matzah, but read that. You can play on the words, you know, ein machmitzim b'matzot, ein machmitzim et hamitzvot. Don't delay. Don't be, you know, be punctilious in doing mitzvahs. Don't be lazy in doing mitzvahs. So, hainu de ikar ha-nekuda shel mitzvot matzah, the essential feature of the mitzvah of matzah on Pesach, he has zrizus basiata, is the zrizut. The zrizut is punctiliousness, the speed, the attentiveness that we give. Basiata, shelo tavo lidei chimutz, so it should not become chametz. You know, after 18 minutes, you know, that there's a fine line between matzah and chametz, right? You know, the same ingredients that you use for matzah, you use for chametz. Same ingredients. The essential difference is the speed in which you make it. Shelo tavo lidei chimutz v'darshina, and the rabbis give a homily, sheyesh inyan shel zrizut ba'asiyat kol ha-mitzvah. There's a concept of zrizut, of zrizus, when we do all mitzvahs. A person should be a zariz when he does his mitzvahs. He should be not lazy, the opposite of lazy. Zariz is the opposite of lazy. Mitzvah haba liyadcha, the rabbis say, al tachmitzena. See, when a mitzvah comes into your hands, al tachmitzena. Literally, don't make it chametz. What does that mean? Mitzvah haba liyadcha al tachmitzena? It means don't delay, you know? You know, I remember I once saw tourist shop, they were selling buttons. So there was a big button and it said, around to it. That's what it was called, around to it. So you have to look at it, you know, around to it. You have to get around to it. When I get around to it, when I get around to it. Well, there's no getting around to it. You have to attack the obligation and do it immediately. V'chein yesh lomar le'inyan mitzvah parsonel, back to paraduma. Right? Remember, let's just refresh ourselves. The question that he asks is, why does the Torah say, in introducing the mitzvah of Paraduma, Zot Chukat HaTorah, this is the law of the Torah, instead of saying, this is the law of the Para, of the Paraduma, the cow. So he gave as an introduction this concept of the Shein Yichud, we say before mitzvahs, that every mitzvah has a unique aspect to it. And when we pray before we do the mitzvah, we ask God to give us the merit of this mitzvah and all the mitzvahs that are dependent upon. So now, let's get to our point. V'chein yesh lomar, we can say, le'inyan mitzvah para, paraduma, with regard to the red heifer. Shechok hi, it is a chok. it is in that category of mitzvahs that we can't really understand the reason for it. Ulamala mihasagata adam, and it's beyond our human comprehension. Ukemosha amar Shlomo HaMelech, right? King Solomon, who was chacham mikol adam, he was the wisest person in the world. Keshiivakesh legalot hatam shal paraduma, when he wanted to reveal the reason of paraduma, amarti achkama v'hibrachoka mimeni. I wanted to get this wisdom, to acquire this wisdom, but it is too far from me, right? Shezuhi hanekuda shel hamitzvah. This is the unique point, the essential point of paraduma. Shechoki, that it is the paradigm of chuki, of those mitzvahs that have no perceived reason. Right? Kashrus is one of those mitzvahs also. But the paradigm of those mitzvahs is the paraduma. That's its essential feature. It is so mysterious, so obviously mysterious when you read about it in the Torah, right? Shechoki, unekuda azu, and this point, yesh gam b'chol mitzvah. Truth be told, every mitzvah has an element of mystery to it. Sha'af shenemar behen tahamim umivik. Even though there are mitzvahs that have reasons, right? Obviously, thou shalt not kill, right? To take a life. There's reason for it, right? Life has to be lived. It's not ours to take away. We don't own the body of the person, etc., etc., right? Umevinim et inyana mitzvah. And we can say that, you know, to a certain degree, to a large degree, we understand the mitzvahs that we perform. Mikol makom, that being said, however, yesh bechol mitzvah tam shehu lemala min ha'asaga. There is in every single mitzvah a reason that is even beyond our human comprehension. Even the simplest, what we think to be obviated mitzvah, bechina shochok, there is an aspect of mystery to every mitzvah. Ulechein matim haloshim, therefore it makes sense that the Torah doesn't say zarchu kat para, zarchu kat ha-Torah, in introducing the para duma, this is the mystery of the Torah, because this is the source of the mystery of every mitzvah in the Torah. Hanuzot, this, ha-mitzvah shel Torah, the mitzvah of the red heifer, he, chukat ha-Torah, this is the mystery of the whole Torah, ha-chok ha-miyuchad shel kol ha-Torah. It's the paradigm, the example par excellence of the fact that there is mystery in mitzvah. Shekol shar ha-Torah tluyah bo. All other aspects of the Torah are dependent upon this notion. Shegam b'shar ha-mitzvot, because even in the other mitzvahs, yesh bechina zu shel parah. There is this personality of parah aduma, of the red heifer, the mysterious mitzvah. Ha-bechina shel chok, the notion of mystery, unknown, shehi lemala mihasagat utfisat adam, which is above and beyond the grasp, the understanding and the grasp of the human being. To put it in other words, the Kotzke Rebbe used to say, Tam, ikar tam mitzvah, mitzvah. When you get down to the bottom line, the basic reason to do a mitzvah is because it's a mitzvah, right? You know, a mother tells a child that don't, you know, she bakes cookies, that for Shabbos don't take any, you know, she can give all kinds of reasons, the kid's going to stick his hand in the cookie jar, but finally she's going to say to him, listen, don't take the cookies, why? Because I said so. That's it, because I said so. Right? Gotta learn. When I say something, that's what I want, right? In fact, what is the definition of a mitzvah? Let's stop for a minute. How do we define the word mitzvah? What is a mitzvah?
Commandment.
Definition. That's a translation. Commandment is a translation. What's a commandment? Right? What's a commandment? How do you define a commandment? How do you define a mitzvah? What's the definition? We do mitzvahs every day. What's the definition of what we do? So, no more ideas?
Because Hashem commanded.
Because Hashem commanded. That's why we do mitzvahs. What? But what is a mitzvah? What is a mitzvah? What's the definition of a mitzvah? Commandment, again, we're going in circles. You're right. It's a commandment. A mitzvah. So what's a mitzvah?
It's a positive or negative act.
Again, you're defining
act.
Okay, right? But you're getting there, but then you have to go one step further. The fact that God is commanding us to do it, what does that make it? It makes it God's will. Exactly. Ratzon Hashem. This is This is the definition that the Maral gives of a mitzvah, and this is the mitzvah, the definition of a mitzvah. It's ratzon Hashem, the will of God. Just like it's the will of the parent, the will of this mother that she, this child should not stick his hand in the cookie jar, right? And that's why he's got to do it. She can give all kinds of reasons. It's for Shabbos, it's for this, it's for that. You know, wait till daddy comes home, wait till your other brothers come home. I have to divide the cookies up equally, right? All kinds of reasons. Nice, good reasons, right? But she said, don't take a cookie. So forget about all the other reasons. The mother's talking. There's a mitzvah kibbutz. That's enough reason, right? So here this, it's ratzon, that's what the mother wants. You have to listen to what your mother wants. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. That's what a mitzvah is. So the Kotzker says, forget about all the other reasons that we do mitzvahs. The essential reason to do a mitzvah is because it's a mitzvah. It's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do it. That's enough. That should be enough for us to want to please and do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us to do. Okay, let's do, on page two, over the page, let's do number four. We'll go in order. Now, based on that, this is from Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, who we've seen many times before, and his Sefer Emes Yaakov. I've mentioned to you many times Rav Yaakov was the Rosh Yeshiva also of Torah Vadas, together with Rabbi Shor, but before that he was a Rav in Toronto for many years, from 1938, 39 to 45, and then he went to New York to become the Rosh Yeshiva of Torah Vadas. And Rav Yaakov, he has a lengthy essay on this also, and I've only taken the last part of it. And based on the same idea, it's really the same idea that we saw from the Orgel d'Aliyah from Rabbi Shor, and he picks up on that idea and he explains that is the basis for something else, right? Ubezem evinim, with this we can understand, anu heitev, we can well understand well, lama bachar Hashem yiporach davke beparsha parah aduma lina liyisrael b'mara. What's he talking about? You know, in Mara, the Jews were given three mitzvahs. Before we received the mitzvahs on Har Sinai, we were given three mitzvahs in Mara. We were given Shabbos, Kibud Avaim, and according to one opinion, Parah Aduma. So you can say, well, it's not Shabbos, I understand. You know, Shabbos, someone said, more than the Jewish people have kept Shabbos, Shabbos has kept the Jewish people. Right, Kibud Avaim, right, the basis of human society, HaKoras HaTov, showing respect to parents and the relationship between parents and child, and that impacts on the whole societal relationship amongst people, right, and relating to God through Kibud Avaim, Parah Aduma. Why is that the third mitzvah, right? If we had a choice, you know, we wouldn't put Parah Aduma there, I don't know, maybe Staka, I don't know, but Parah Aduma? What's that? So Rabbi Yaakov says, now we can understand, based on this idea, that Parah Aduma represents essentially the notion of chok, of just doing what God tells us to do. So now, you hear it already. Now I understand, he says, this can explain why Parah Aduma was the third mitzvah given as a preamble to Torah. The Bishlam of Shabbat v'kibud av v'ein, I understand Shabbos and honoring parents. V'dinim shenatan lehem b'mara muvan. That makes sense. Basic concepts to society. U'mishum sheyirtzeh shehem yikaymu eizim mitzvot l'maisa. God wanted us to perform some kind of tangible mitzvah observance towards Him. V'yu yoter muchanim. And therefore, by getting into the groove of doing His will, to be ready, al-yidezeh, l'kabalat ha-Torah, to receiving the whole ball of wax. U'lekiyum ha-mitzvotel, and to fulfill all the mitzvahs of the Torah. Ava Parah Aduma, but the mitzvah Parah Aduma. Adayim e'efshir ha'yeh l'kayim. First of all, he says, pragmatically, we couldn't do the Parah Aduma even if we wanted to. There's no Beis HaMikdash. Right? You need at least the tabernacle in the desert. You need the doorway. It has to be done facing the doorway of the Hechal, of the Mikdash. So of all the mitzvahs of the Torah, I understand, you know, that there's a preparation for Kabbalah Satori. He gave a Shabbos. gave us kibbutz, why paraduma? Sava pira davar hu, kemoshi dakdik rashi. But you know what? This is, this he says, I can sort of say that this is something that Rashi alluded to in his commentary in Mishalach, when he said, Natan lehem miktzat parshiyot shel Torah, shi'itasku bem. He gave them a few examples of Torah so that they should be engaged in those examples of Torah. Kilomar, in other words, ikar hakavana. What was God's essential intention of giving us three mitzvahs at Mara before we received the Torah? So his intention was, haital limur haTorah b'li kiyum mitzvah, to study Torah without fulfilling it. Obviously, you can't fulfill the mitzvah of paraduma, so obviously when he was giving us these mitzvahs, he was giving them to us in order for us to understand the theology, the philosophy, the reasoning, the impact behind these mitzvahs, even without doing them. Elo rak sheyitchakavnu lekabalat haTorah al yedei limudah. But through learning them and studying them and understanding them, it prepares us mentally, emotionally, intellectually, to receive the Torah. Well, the fi mashik hasav, muvan, now makes sense. Heitev, madua bachar bishvil zet davka parshat paraduma. So, you know, we ask the question, paraduma seems to be the odd man out here, right? It doesn't make sense. What's it doing here? Shahari, mi parsha zet anu lomdim, it has everything to do with this. It has everything to do with being one third of the example of Torah being given to us before in preparation for the Torah. Because of this mitzvah anu lomdim, we learn she'ein anu mekayamim et mitzvot Hashem, that the reason we do mitzvot is not mishum she'anu mevinim otam, it's not because we understand everything, besichleinu, with our intellect. Ve'heim nira'im lanu, the second column, kehoganim unechonim, and it makes sense to us. You know, this one I'll do, I like this mitzvah, you know, this mitzvah, okay, pay a checklist, you know. This mitzvah I like, this mitzvah I don't like, this mitzvah I like. That's not what Torah is all about. El Adra, on the other side of the coin, Kan, yesh lanu mitzvot, here we have a mitzvah, the poraduma, purifying someone who's dead. This whole process, you'll go through the psukim until Shabbos, you'll see how strange it is. You know, burning the poraduma, taking the ashes of the poraduma, the ashes of the poraduma, and other ingredients, and mixing them together, sprinkling them on the third and the seventh day of a person's contamination from death. Shekol kula nitna rak bishvil hagzera nizarti. This is a decree from God, without our understanding. V'aval pikin, that notwithstanding, anu mekayamim otah, we do it. V'harezeh hachana nechona, this is a fitting preparation, l'shar mitzvot haTorah, to the rest of the mitzvahs of the Torah. Sha'af shehei muvanim b'sichleinu, even though most of the mitzvahs of the Torah we can understand, most of the mitzvahs of the Torah are not chukim, most of the mitzvahs of the Torah are not mysterious. Mikol makom, still anu mekayamim otam, we fulfill them mishum shekach tziva habore, because the bottom line, we just said from the Kotzker, tam mitzvah mitzvah, the essential reason we do it is because God commanded, because that's what God wants us to do. Ulefizeh, and because of this, so that's why paraduma was not randomly chosen as one of the three mitzvahs at Mar, you know, God, Kaviyahu, couldn't think of a third mitzvah to give us as an example before we received the Torah. He put, okay, paraduma. No, paraduma is essential. It speaks to the mysterious aspect, to the aspect of subservience, of submission to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that I submit to God's will, even if I don't know what's good for me, but He knows what's good for me, right? And that's essentially why I do mitzvahs. You know, we say in Birchas HaChodesh, once a month when we sanctify the new moon in Davening, we say Birchas HaChodesh, right? Kiddush HaChodesh. So we say in that paragraph, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give us Mishalot Libenu Litova, right? To give us the request, the desires of our heart for good. Now, it sounds like grammatically that's incorrect. Really, we should be Davening to God to give me Mishalot HaTovot Shevelibeinu. Give me the good requests of my heart. Grant me that. Answer my prayer, right? But we don't say that. We answer and we ask Him, give us the Mishalot Libeinu Litova. Give us the request of our heart for good. What does that mean? That means, very simple, we don't know what's good for us. You know? 12 and a half year old kid Dovin's to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please get me that, you know, 33-speed racer, you know, so I can have that racer. But it's dangerous. 13-year-old kid shouldn't be riding such a cycle, right? He has to be in the Grand Prix first to drive such a bicycle, right? It's dangerous. So the answer to that prayer is no, right? But that's answer, kol mishalot libeinu, answer all of the requests in my heart, letova. You decide what's good for me. Not kol mishalot letova means give me that 13-speed racer, that 33-speed racer. Kol mishalot tovot shalibeinu, give me that, say yes. But the right thing to pray for is, I don't know whether it's good for me, whether it's not good for me, Rabbeinu Shalom. You decide. Answer my kol mishalot libeinu, all the things that I ask, letova. Give me the request for good. You, well, sometimes no is a good answer, is the right answer, not yes. So that's the idea here. And then he concludes, Rufisa, based on this, yesh la'avim, we have to understand, we can understand, mashadarshu chazal, the rabbis say from in this parsha of Parah Aduma, there's another verse, Zot ha-Torah Adam ki yamud ba'ohel. This is the Torah, Adam ki yamud ba'ohel. This is the, now I'm feeling guilty. That's okay, it's all right. It's okay. Open it. Somebody, if she's still there, I don't know if she's still there.
No.
Okay, all right. So, so we say, Zos HaTorah Adam Ki Yamos Ba'Ohel. This is the Torah of a person who dies in his tent. Right? Now, what does that mean? That means we're talking about the law of someone who dies. How do you deal with death? How is death dealt with? So, Zos HaTorah Adam Ki Yamos Ba'Ohel. She'ein HaTorah, so the rabbis have a homily on this, a drush on this. She'ein HaTorah mikayemet elu v'misha meimit atzmo alema. They're playing on the words here. The simple pshat, the textual meaning of this, the context of this is, I'm now going to teach you the laws of a person who dies in a house. That the people around him are tame. That's the textual, contextual thing here. But the rabbis have a drush on this. This is the Torah of a person who dies in his tent. Meaning what? That a Torah is not fulfilled unless you actually die for it. You have to be willing to give your life for Torah. Right? Once reminds me of an incident that happened to me when I was a student in yeshiva many, many years ago. I remember I was in the base medrash and somebody came to me. You know, in those days, first of all, there was no such thing as a cell phone. There was a thing, a payphone. Some of you are still familiar with what a payphone is, right? I think they're still a few around. Anyway, in yeshiva, there were payphones, right? And anyway, you couldn't have your cell phone. If you're in yeshiva, you don't have your cell phone on in the base medrash. So I was sitting in the base medrash and learning, and someone came over to me one morning and said, you have a phone call. So it's in the middle of Seder in the morning, right? Okay, I tell my chumash I'm going to get the phone. I'm walking out, and in the back of the base medrash, one of the, my Rebbe actually at the time, Rav Moshe Kalevsky, Yagur Moshe Kalevsky Zatzal, became the Rosh Hashiva of Neri Zohar in Baltimore. It was a tremendous Magid Shir. In my days, Rabbi Kalevsky had a reputation that he was the best Magid Shir in America. People would come to Baltimore to study just to hear his Shir. Anyway, he was standing in the back looking at a Sefer, and I'm charging out of the basement. He says, where are you going? Where are you going? He says, I have a phone call. So I figured, you know, that's going to be enough. I have a phone call, right? I mean, I'm not in school. I have to ask permission to go out of the base manager. He says, but you don't have a phone call. I said, what do you mean I don't have a phone call? I have a phone call. Somebody's on the phone. No, he says, you're dead. I said, what do you mean I'm dead? You're dead. You're not alive now. I said, what do you mean I'm not alive? He says, the Gemara says, Ein HaTorah Miskayemes El B'Mishu Neimis Atzmor. You're sitting and learning now. You're dead to the world. Your focus is Torah. You're dead. As far as that phone call, anything else, you have to concentrate on learning. That's what you're doing now. You're in the base manager. Now, don't ask if I went out and took the phone call or not, because I honestly don't remember. That's a sign of, you know, the times here. But that was my mindset with this. And every time I see this Maimar Chazal, I remember this story. And I thought, I don't think, I said, what should I do with the phone? Just leave it hang, he'll hang up, don't worry about it. They'll understand that whoever's calling you knows you're in the base medicine, shouldn't be calling you now. Okay. Ulechura tamui, he says. So this whole drush, right? It's a wonder, he says. My shayate bahai drasha l'parshat paradumah. Why teach us this lesson? This is a noble lesson, right? That a person has to give his all for in order to understand Torah, to succeed in the great mitzvah, the primary mitzvah of studying Torah and understanding Torah, that one has to devote himself to Torah, the concentration required for Torah. But why put that in the mitzvah of paradumah? Why give us this almost poetic idea, you know, of giving your life for Torah in the mitzvah here of Paraduma, this gory mitzvah, this mysterious mitzvah.